If you would now please turn with me in your Bibles to our sermon text this morning, Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be focusing in on verses 27 and 28. So please stand for the reading of God's holy, inerrant word. Hear now God's word from Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to begin reading in verse 23. Through verse 28, although again, the sermon's going to be on 27 and 28. Hear now the word of God. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Let's pray. Lord Almighty, your word, the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, is magnificent because it is your word. But we need your Holy Spirit for it to come alive and to come into our hearts and our thinking and our faith and our hope and impact us and change us and encourage us and simply even make sense and renew us. So we seek the working of your Holy Spirit through the preaching of your word. And as always, even to deliver this message, I seek your Holy Spirit's unction. Pray all of this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'd like you to see if the following statement from Ian Hamilton strikes you as much as it did me. Here it is. Are you ready for it? Faith is the defining note of the Christian life. Faith is the defining note of the Christian life. This is something that we can carry around with us. This is something that we can meditate on, this statement, which I'm going to be repeating throughout the sermon. We can meditate on its truth and significance for us, its biblical truth, for the rest of this week, the rest of this month, and even the rest of our lives, and especially in the hard times. Faith is the defining note of the Christian life. That really captures the essence of Hebrews chapter 11. The phrase that we find throughout Hebrews 11 here, the phrase by faith appears 18 times in regards to how we live the Christian life. It is by faith, not by works, not by self-effort, not by particular things we may do or not do. We live by faith. And this especially in the hard times. That's what Hebrews 11 is directed towards, the hard times. We live by faith, especially when we just can't see the way forward. And so this vital chapter of the Bible on how to live the Christian life begins with that foundational statement in Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then Hebrews chapter 11 here continues, showing us how so many of the great heroes of the Bible, they lived this principle out by faith. We read, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith, Sarah. And then at this point, working our way through chapter 11, the author inserts a key aspect of this defining note of the Christian life, where in verse 13 he writes, "These all, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on this earth." And then having brought that out, 13, 14, 15, and so forth, the author then picks up and he continues once again with faith as the defining note of the Christian life, as he writes, "By faith Abraham, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith Joseph, and now, beginning in verse 23, the section we're in now, by faith who? Moses." And this is where we're at in our study of Hebrews chapter 11. Once again, looking at the manner by which Moses lived by faith. And this so that we can better understand how to live the Christian life by faith. Since after all, faith is the defining note of the Christian life, whether in good times or the really, really hard and confusing times. And observe here in our two verses for this morning, 27 and 28, that the critical expression "by faith" appears at the beginning of each one of those two verses regarding how Moses lived. Faith really is the defining note of the Christian life. For after all, we're saved by grace through faith in the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's dig into verse 27, which is about Moses. Actually, it's really continuing Moses' life of faith. It's really continuing what's already been brought up in 23, 24, 25, 26. It's about Moses' life of faith and helps us to see faith is the defining note. Verse 27, "By faith he," that's referring to Moses, "by faith Moses left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured seeing him who is invisible." Now, one of the great things about the New Testament is that it often takes something from the Old Testament and interprets it for us. It shines a light on it. It takes things from the Old Testament. The New Testament takes them much deeper, especially in regards to Christ. And in the case here, verse 27, the author of Hebrews is helping us avoid an assumption which we often make when we go back to Exodus chapter 2 and read the account of Moses leaving Egypt. In Exodus chapter 2, which is the background to this, verses 11 to 15, well, they read this way. "One day, Moses saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. He looked this way and that, seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian. When he went out the next day, behold, two Hebrews were struggling together, and Moses said to the man in the wrong, 'Why do you strike your companion?' And he answered, 'Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?' Then Moses was afraid, and he thought, 'Surely the thing is known.' When Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses, but Moses fled Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian." Now, when we read those verses from Exodus chapter 2, we often assume, I always have, that the reason that Moses fled Egypt was because he was afraid of Pharaoh. But the text doesn't actually directly state that. In regard to Moses being afraid, Exodus 2 only directly links his being afraid to his realization that his killing of the Egyptian had become known. In regards to Moses and Pharaoh, however, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the author of Hebrews clarifies that matter right here in verse 27. Again, he writes, "By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king." See, he's clarifying what we might naturally assume when we read Exodus 2. He's not contradicting, the Holy Spirit is merely clarifying something for us. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Yes, Exodus does state that Pharaoh did indeed seek to kill Moses, but here in verse 27, the Holy Spirit takes us deeper regarding Moses' what? His faith. What we learn here is something really vital to our own lives. It's that before anything else, and please don't miss this, Moses was living by faith and not by fear. Moses was reacting by faith and not by fear. In fact, a very important principle regarding fear in the Christian life is that the way that we are to deal with fear is by faith. We are to turn our fearful eyes to the Almighty God and by faith find our safety and our refuge in God and His Savior and His promises. You see, our tendency, our instinctive tendency is to focus our gaze on that which we're fearing because we're afraid of it and we don't want it to get us. But what we learn from Scripture and even the example of Moses is we turn our gaze to our Father in heaven. That's where it properly belongs. So observe carefully that verse 27 tells us plainly, by faith, Moses left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king. So, in what spiritual state did Moses leave Egypt? Again, please don't miss this vital point, for he endured seeing him who is invisible, not seeing the king, not fixing his gaze on the king, seeing him who is invisible. Verse 1, now faith is what? The conviction of things unseen. Even in his flight from Egypt, Moses' gaze was fixed on God. The eyes of Moses' faith saw him who was invisible. He saw him who was invisible. Isn't that something? In other words, a God-focused faith, I'll even say a God-seeing faith, was a defining note of Moses' life, just as it should be ours. Moses' faith in the face of danger had tremendous relevance for the original audience to whom the book of Hebrews was written. They were tempted to forsake Christ in order to escape the bad things that were happening to them for their allegiance to Christ. But Moses, the author points out here, their hero really should be our hero too, but Moses, by faith, did not allow fear to control him, not even fear of the most powerful man in the world, the mighty Pharaoh. You see, there was a particular mistake that those Hebrew Christians were making, and I fear that we can make the same mistake ourselves with everything that's going on in our society today and with so much communication that we have, revealing and so forth what's going on with the press and internet and so forth. Remember, faith, not what we read, not what we hear, faith is the defining note of the Christian life, and thus we're to keep the eyes of our faith fixed firmly on the Almighty Sovereign God. If only we spent as much time gazing at God upon the pages of Holy Scripture as we do on the internet, reading the news, listening to the news, and all of those things, if we spend at least as much time gazing and listening to God on the pages of Scripture, I think our fear level would go down. Would it not? Richard Phillips says it so well, fear must be met with faith. There, that's it, isn't it? Fear must be met with faith. And this is exactly what Moses was doing, for he was not only a man of faith, but he was also a man of courage by fearing the Almighty God rather than puny old Pharaoh. Yeah, puny Pharaoh in comparison to the Almighty God. Moses really was a man of courage. He feared God, not man. Listen to verse 27 once again. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Again, Richard Phillips. This is always how God's people triumph over threatening circumstances. So let me ask you, can you see the invisible God? The eyes of faith can. His saving deeds are spread across the pages of Holy Scripture. His character, his power, his might, his redemption, his love, his goodness, his judgment, his justice, it's all spread across the pages of Holy Scripture. His handiwork is all around us in creation. And even the Lord's table, it's right there to present to your eyes of faith God's love and grace and salvation and redemption. So can you see the invisible God? Now, at this point, you might ask, but what about the Exodus text? It actually says, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian. Again, Hebrews 11, verse 27 helps us. What Moses had done was flee to Egypt. He fled Pharaoh and the royal life as a prince because he had identified with those who really were his people, the enslaved Hebrews. And when Moses impulsively killed that Egyptian, that oppressing Egyptian, it shows us that Moses was actually beginning to understand that he was being called by God to deliver God's people, but it wasn't yet God's time. In other words, when Moses, quote-unquote, fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian, it was a strategic retreat. Jesus did that many times until the right time came to be our Redeemer, right? So, keeping the eyes of his faith as seeing him who is invisible, Moses left Egypt. He fled Egypt. And he endured the next 40 years in the land of Midian, where God prepared him for the great coming faith-filled task of delivering God's people. And so just as faith was the defining principle of Moses' life, so faith is also to be the defining principle of your life in my life. No wonder there's so many sermon series on Hebrews chapter 11. What a magnificent chapter. We need Hebrews 11, don't we? Now, the author of Hebrews isn't finished with Moses as a tremendous model of faith. Because there's one more great act of faith which Moses led now the people to engage in some 40 years later on the eve of the 10th plague. Moses led the people in instituting the Passover. And boy, oh boy, is this ever about faith in Christ and Christ's salvation. Verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. Now, one might be tempted to think of the Passover as perhaps a really interesting religious ceremony. But it was actually a matter of life and death. And what the Passover signifies remains as a matter of life and death. What the Passover really was an act of faith in which one took shelter under the blood of the Lamb. Do you get that? The Passover was an act of faith. Celebrating the Passover, following those prescriptions, was an act of faith in which one sheltered under the blood of the shed Lamb. And yep, this brings us right back to that great principle. Faith is the defining note of the Christian life, in which the blood of the Lamb is the foundation. We place our faith in Christ and his saving work. So consider the situation of the Hebrew Christians to whom verse 28 was written. They were seeking, or they were at least tempted, to seek shelter from trouble away from Christ and away from the blood of the Lamb. That was the danger they were in, seeking shelter elsewhere. But do you know what lurks away from Christ? The destroyer. That's the realm of the destroyer, is away from the blood of the Lamb. In other words, there is no safety. There is no sheltering away apart from Christ's blood. And so the question I want to ask at this moment is, are you sheltering by faith under the shed blood of Christ? Or are you out in the realm of the destroyer? And the gospel says, come and shelter. Find your safety from the destroyer under the blood of Christ, the Lamb that was slain. Looking further at verse 28 here, we see a reference to the firstborn. Now, in our day and age, this doesn't mean a whole lot to us. But in those cultures, and perhaps some cultures to this day, the cultures in which the Bible was written, the firstborn male child was a huge deal. This reference to the firstborn takes us back to Exodus chapter 4, verses 22 and 23, where God commanded Moses to go to Pharaoh and tell him, thus says Yahweh, Israel is my firstborn son. If you refuse to let him go, behold, I will kill your firstborn son. Here, God was informing Pharaoh of the severe danger to the most precious thing that he had, the danger that he was in. The firstborn son in those cultures was a treasured possession, an inheritance of the father. The firstborn son was of the utmost importance to the father and to the family, because it was the firstborn son who would inherit everything. And with his inheritance, when the father passed away, the firstborn son then took care of the family. So it was maybe we could say sort of a welfare system, a care system for the family. The firstborn son inherited everything so he could take the place of the father and providing care for the family, and thus generation could go on and on in this way. And that makes the firstborn son really, really important and precious in those cultures. And so God was informing Pharaoh that if Pharaoh did not free God's firstborn son, a way of saying how precious Israel is to him, okay, God was going to kill Pharaoh's most precious firstborn son. In other words, God would execute justice by sending forth the destroyer, the angel of death, as the tenth plague, which actually was a foretaste of the coming great judgment day when all humanity will receive what they deserve. And if you go back and read the story in Exodus, you'll discover that this threat of judgment wasn't limited to just Pharaoh and the Egyptians, because God's judgment would also fall upon the Israelites who failed to shelter under the blood of the Lamb, who failed to exercise faith in God's means of escape from his divine justice. Now that thought alone should have been an ample warning to those Hebrew Christians to whom Hebrews is written. It should have been an ample warning to them to leave the shelter of Christ's blood in order to escape suffering in their lives was the most dangerous, foolhardy, crazy, insane thing they could possibly do. What may have seemed to them to perhaps be wisdom was the most folly, the worst thing they could have possibly done. And Timothy Keller points out something really interesting about this in God threatening to destroy the firstborn. You see, Moses in this, in the fact that the destroyer was going to come and kill the firstborn, Moses never complained to God that God was being unfair and unjust. But God, how can you kill the firstborn? Even innocent babies. Moses never uttered a word of complaint. Moses knew full well that we are all born guilty sinners. He knew full well that we all deserve nothing less than God's wrath and God's justice, and that God has every right, therefore, to take our lives. We all deserve, we have all earned the angel of death's visitation upon us, the destroyer. So here's the burning question now. How can God execute justice and at the same time show mercy? If we all deserve a visitation from the destroyer, how can there also be mercy and grace? Well, the answer is found right here in verse 28. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer, the firstborn, might not touch them. There's mercy, the blood. God provided a substitute for the firstborn, a lamb who would die in the place of the firstborn, the lamb who was God's own son, the one who was most precious to the Father. But you see, coming under the shelter of the blood of the lamb was not automatic. You had to do something by faith. By faith, you had to come under the shelter of the Passover lamb. And you sheltered under that substitutionary lamb's blood by painting. You took that hyssop and you painted on the doorpost of your house the blood from that lamb that had been killed. And when the destroying angel then that night came through the land and came down your street and came to your front door, he'd either see the blood painted there by faith or he'd see no blood. Because there wasn't faith. If he saw blood painted there on the entryway into your home, he'd pass over your home, leaving all who sheltered under the Lamb's blood safe from judgment. Mercy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so we can see that even for Israel, that great principle of faith applied even for them. Faith is the defining note of the Christian life. Now, of course, the Hebrew Christians who are wanting to escape to the Jewish Old Testament religion might say, but you see, I'm going to escape the destroyer because I'll be participating in the Old Testament Passover. But you see, Christ is the one to whom the Passover celebration pointed towards. And so Christ, in his shedding of blood on the cross, he brought the Passover celebrations to an end. No more shadows. The true Lamb of God has come. Just as John the Baptist exclaimed when he saw Jesus coming towards him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He could have just as said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who turns away the destroyer by his shed blood." And here's the thing. On the cross, the destroying angel, God's judgment against our sin, came to Jesus and came upon Jesus as he hung on the cross with our guilt, our sins placed upon him. In the case of Christ, as our substitute, the destroying angel wrought judgment upon Christ, the Passover lamb, killing him as our substitute, so that all who shelter in Christ would be passed over. Penalty is executed on our substitute. So the same true holds true for us today. When you, by faith, shelter in Christ, by so to speak, painting the Lamb's blood on your heart and your life, mercy prevails, and the destroying angel will pass you by, and you will survive that fearsome judgment day which is coming. And so very, very important here, what the author of Hebrews was saying to those Hebrew Christians was, be like Moses. By faith, shelter under the cross. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. So can you see what the author is seeking to communicate to all of us. The Christian life is a life lived not by works, not by efforts, but by faith from beginning to end. And when you find yourself in the midst of life's doubts, life's struggles with faith, or struggles with worries and threats and fears and even great trials, and we might even be tempted to walk away, we need to keep the eyes of our faith. We need to keep our gaze fixed firmly on God and His promises and His power and His purposes, for He is a good God, full of grace, full of mercy. He's a saving, sheltering God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever believes would not perish, but have everlasting life. So what we have here is God's prescription for the struggling believer. When there are things to be afraid of, and the world is full to overflowing with things to be afraid of, when it looks like God has let you slip through the palms of His hands and you're tempted to bail, do as Moses did. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured, seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. Truly, faith is the defining note of the Christian life. Meditate on this great truth this week, the rest of this month, even the rest of your life. And especially in the hardest of times, remember, faith is the defining note of the Christian life. Let's pray. Lord God, you are good. And all we have to do is look at Hebrews chapter 11, as well as the Psalms, which are teaching the same principle over and over again. The psalmist is afraid, he's terrified, he's under threat, and he turns to faith. Lord, thank you for Hebrews 11. Thank you for the examples of those great heroes of the faith who have gone before us. Help us to stop doing what we so naturally do, obsess over the threat, and instead, may we obsess, so to speak, over you and your promises and your Son and the shed blood of the Lamb. Build our faith. Help us to endure and persevere. Help us to keep our gaze fixed firmly on you. We pray this so that we might not only have hope and not faint, but that we might all the more live to your glory with gratitude. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen.